We're going to go to the Gospel of John, John chapter 15, and a couple portions of Scripture there, and then we're going to go to the book of Galatians, and I'll read a couple portions of Scripture there. Those of you that, thank you, if those of you that have called and texted and inquired about my back, it's getting better, just slowly but surely. I'm not 25 anymore, so, and but I'm getting better. Thank the Lord for that. If you have it, would you say amen?
Amen.
And I appreciate two things tonight. I noticed a lot of you have your Bibles, and that's awesome. That's so amazing. And then all the men that were leading the church in prayer week after week, I appreciate that. Thank you so much. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me. Somebody say abide.
Abide.
And I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine. Somebody say ye are the branches.
Ye are the branches.
He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. And then quickly, Galatians chapter 6. You'll go forward in your Bible, chapter 6, verse 9. And I'm going to read just a couple words from there. It says, "For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." And verse 9 says, "For in due season we shall reap." We shall reap. And I want to talk to you in this thought tonight. Abide. Abide. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated in the presence of the Lord. To abide, that word abide in its definition means to stay in a given place, state, relation, or expectancy. Abide or continue, dwell, endure, be present, remain, stand, tarry, and stay. It's what we would say, you stick it out, you remain. And there's a word that we use, I believe we use it often in the house of God, but I believe as a pastor I see, and not just as a pastor, just in ministry I see that folks use that out of context at times, because, and the word is faithfulness, because we like the word faithfulness when it applies to other people or faithful. You got to be faithful. But again, Wednesday night, I like us to slow it down, take a microscope, take a little lens and look at ourselves. Are we being faithful? And earlier this year, in fact, it was January 1, I discussed the spiritual theme for 2018, and we called it Vision Sunday. And it is made up of three components around the word thrive. And it's spiritual, but it has practical principles for every aspect of your life. Rooted. Are you rooted in the church? Are you rooted in doctrine? Are you rooted in your relationship with the Lord? Are you rooted in holiness? Are you rooted in stewardship? Are you rooted in prayer? Are you rooted in righteousness? And then breaking that down in your life. Are you rooted? Do you have roots? Have you put roots down in different areas of your life? And then we transition to grow. Are you growing in the church? Are you growing with the Lord? Are you growing in ministries? Are you growing in your stewardship? Are you growing in your prayer life? And then it goes to bear fruit, and the same concepts or principles apply to ultimately thrive in each area, but thrive in general in all of our lives. And tonight is June 13th, so it's almost exactly to the day, 6 months since we've talked about that. And so tonight, it is going to be a mid-year review for ourselves. I'm going to ask a lot of questions tonight. I want you to not to blurt them out. This is for you. If you're taking notes, I want you to ask yourself, how am I doing midpoint? How am I doing? You know, it's 6 months from January 1. We've done communion. We've did foot washing. We went through stewardship missions conference. We went through 4 or 5 weeks of practical teaching on stewardship. We went through RT Ladies Day. We went through men's retreat. We've gone through revivals. How are we doing spiritually? How are you doing spiritually? We're right smack in the middle of summer. Coming next week, I believe, is officially summer, but we're in it. You ask the people in the valley, they've been in it for 45 days already. But kids are out of school and graduations and work is picking up for those of you that rely on the good weather in certain industry. And we're going to self-analyze our spiritual walk, our involvement, our faithfulness with the things of God. Because if we say we're going to do something, we need to measure or have some accountability. Well, there's that word again. So we have to abide. The scripture says abide, remain. Remain on the vine. You got to stay with the vine. You got to stay with the Lord. You got to stay in the church. You got to stay committed. You got to be faithful. So I got 2 points tonight. The first point is, how are you doing? This lesson today is intended to get you thinking and really analyze yourself. Where are you at with your walk with God? Notice something. Many people grow older, but they never grow up. 1 Corinthians 13 and 11 said, "When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things." I ask you tonight, how you doing? Where are you at? Some people, they mark time, but they never make history. They make money, but no lasting legacy. They breathe air, but they don't grow or bear fruit, therefore they are not thriving. The scripture tells us in James 4 and 14, "For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away." We get so excited about the things here on earth, and we make commitments and promises to God in services and revivals and special events and places and conventions and other churches, and then you come back and you get caught in the same rut. And then you're looking at your fruitlessness and wondering, ¿qué pasa? What happened? You see, some folks are like the generation that Moses led in the Old Testament. They had enough fear to leave Egypt, but not enough faith to go into the Promised Land. Think about that. And many of us live our life the same way. In not just the spiritual sense, but in physical, relationships, financial. We've had enough of the past mistakes to think about getting rooted. Well, I think I ought to start filling the blank. I'm starting to grow. I'm starting to bear fruit. We've had enough of the past mistakes to think about repenting and forgiving somebody and really buckling down in holiness or stewardship and commitment and obedience. But during the process, we run into a few bumps in the road, vacation, summertime. You get offended. Gain some weight. You don't see immediate blessings coming your way. You get discouraged. Change happens. And what we started out to correct, to address, to fix, to what we started out to grow or get rooted in, what we thought was going to bear fruit, we just give up and say, well, at least I tried. It's probably not possible. Can I tell you, with man, it's not possible. But with God, all things are possible. That's why the word of the Lord is so powerful when you read Galatians 6 and 9. "For in due season we shall reap if we faint not." If I could play on words there, "For in due season we shall reap if we remain faithful." That's what that is. Due season means when the time is right. That's what that means. The children of Israel, when leaving Egypt, had an 11-day walk from Egypt to the Promised Land, or Egypt to Canaan. Deuteronomy 1 and 2 says there are 11 days journey from Horeb by the way of Mount Sarah to Kadesh Barnea. But instead of what should have taken 11 days, ended up being 40 years of funerals. Think about that. That's tragic. What should have been 11 days of triumph and glory and joy and excitement turned into 40 days of funerals, looking at people and saying, "You're going to die next. You're next. You're old. You're hitting that mark. Oh, we got 5 more people left. They're going to, when are they going to pass away so we can get to the promised land?" We think it's funny. We joke about it now because we know the end of the story. But an entire generation was lost because they were fearful enough to leave Egypt, but they didn't have the faith enough to live and to thrive. Well, we got to abide. We got to remain in the church. Don't backslide over the summer. Don't let summertime hinder all the things that you've done and you've added up and all the blessings and all the favor and all the momentum you built up. Don't let summertime squash that. Think about this. Notice what Deuteronomy 1:26 says. "Notwithstanding, you would not go up, but rebelled against the commandment of the Lord your God." These folks wandered around in the wilderness for 40 years, complaining, griping, whining. What should have taken 11 days is nothing. Man, that is, some people go on vacation for 11 days. They had 11 days to get to the promised land. But they allowed what they saw. They lost hope. Even though they complained about food, and the Lord gives them food. He provided fire at night for them, a cloud by day for them. Their clothes were taken care of. Water was provided. God said, "I'm taking you to your land. I'm going to do this." All the things that they saw, all the plagues, and they didn't abide. That should have been enough. At times they had repentance. At times they had unity. At times they had good days. At times they had bad days. But in the season, had they would have just remained, if they would have abided, if they would have just kept their mouth quiet. I can't make a doctrine off of this. This is just something, Pastor, in the scripture that I see for me. That when Joshua and the children of Israel get to Jericho, and the Lord tells them, "You're going to march around once a day for 6 days, and the seventh day you're going to march around 7 times. I wonder, because Joshua was part of, him and Caleb were the only two that made it to the promised land from that generation. I wonder if Joshua said, "You know what? You guys opened your mouth one time and an entire generation was lost, and I had to wait 40 years to get back here." I wonder when they were marching, if you looked at him and said, "You better keep your mouth quiet. If you know what's good for you, you better keep your mouth quiet, because the Lord said, hey, you got to do this. I'm not telling you to keep your mouth quiet, but I'm trying to tell you, you need to abide in the church. Don't keep your eyes on Jesus. Yeah. Or you're going to miss out. Everything you've built up, everything you've worked for, you're going to miss out. We got to abide. Abide in Him. Notice this. Where are you at? How are you doing? Are you praying every day? Are you reading your Bible? Are you being a good steward of your time, your talent, or your treasure? How are you doing with holiness? Are you making the necessary changes to let your light shine? Is the summer before you and the season of life you're in a time of growth and bearing fruit? Are you here just for the revival, and once you feel that you've tasted enough and gotten your own basket full, that you're going to settle down and eat your fruit while others are starving and wanting to have the same joy that you have? Are you witnessing? Are you praying for others? Are you encouraging them? Are you loving them? Are you helping them? Are you leading them to Jesus? Are you making disciples? Or are we so consumed with ourselves that you become selfish Christians? Nobody else can lead the ministry that you're leading, or so that you crowd people out instead of them trying to help you and be a blessing, you crowd them out. Have you become so enamored with the way things used to be that you're just comfortable with being stagnant in the stagnant waters of life because you refuse to grow? We're not responsible for anybody else but ourselves. You see, people experience God, but they don't become godly. They go to church, but they don't ever be the church. You've picked up your cross, but you're not following Him or making disciples. You may have been baptized in Jesus' name. You maybe have went under the water, but you're resurrecting the old man. You may speak in tongues and have the Holy Ghost, but you're not walking in the Spirit or leading in the Spirit. Galatians 5:16 says this, I say, walk in the Spirit, and maybe you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Yeah. If you walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So I ask you, how are you doing? We need accountability. If we're going to get to heaven, you want accountability. Well, do you resemble the fruit of the Spirit? I told you there's a lot of questions tonight. Do you resemble the fruit of the Spirit? Do you find yourself relaxing the old ways and fastening yourself to the next thing? The next fad. The next revival. The next youth convention. The next missions conference. The next guest speaker. And we base our growth on the next thing, being stirred but never changed. This I say, walk in the Spirit. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so you that cannot do the things that you would. Growth requires change. Something has to change in order for there to be growth. Think about that. You got a pot that has a plant or a plant in it. It's only going to get so big in that pot unless there's a transplanting into a bigger pot or going into the ground. Trees change with the season. There's four seasons. In the fall, the leaves fall down. The tree is stripped bare. Sometimes with your walk with life, with God, you're going to be stripped bare. It's change. It's seasons. But it's part of growth. Winter comes. The rain comes. The wind comes. A tree doesn't bear fruit all year long. But what happens in the springtime? What happens in harvest time? Let's not get stuck in one season in our walk with God. You need to have different seasons. Scripture talks about that. Some of us have been stuck in the fallow ground for decades. RT is having unprecedented revival right now as we speak. And some of us are still stuck in the fallow ground. Scripture says, "For thus saith the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground. Don't sow among the thorns." So I ask you, mid-year reflection, how you doing? Where are you at? Transparency about you that only you can measure. You can say, "Well, Pastor, how do you think I'm doing?" Well, how do you think you're doing? We can't blame someone else. Notice this. Philippians 2 and 12 says, "Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure." Let's get moving. If we got to step it up, let's step it up. Point two, are you stuck? If you're stuck, let's get unstuck. Do you have things that need to be pruned? Do you have things that you need to sow? Have you been doing more sowing in the Spirit than in the flesh? Or you've been doing more sowing in the flesh than in the Spirit? Galatians 6 and 8 says, "For he that soweth to his flesh shall reap of the flesh. The flesh will reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." Are you connected to the vine? Are you abiding? Remember, a branch cannot bear fruit unless it's connected to the vine. Not going to happen. Scripture says in Hosea 10 and 12, "Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord." Either you are sowing or you are pruning. Think about your life. Either you're getting out of debt or you're getting in debt. You're either working on the relationship you're in or you're getting out of the relationship you're in. You're either praying or you're not. You're either reading your Bible or you're not. You're either worshiping or you're not. You're either involved in ministry or you're not. You're either faithful or you're not. Are we abiding? Are we connected to the vine? Because he said, if you're abiding with me, then you're going to be a disciple. That's what the scripture said. They'll know you're a disciple because you're bearing fruit. Another part of the scripture says, you shall know them by what they say, right? You shall know them by their fruit. But we know a lot of people by what they say. Because, right, they talk real good. We don't want to. We want to be doers. We got to abide. Notice this. If you're taking notes, write this down. No one can go back and make a brand new start, but anyone can start from now and make a brand new ending. You don't have to wait till January of 2019, and you don't have to wait till Sunday. Tell your neighbor, do it now. Andale, vamos. John 15 and 2 said, "Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. I want you to chew on this. Gardeners cut away dead branches and trim healthy branches so they will produce more fruit. It's the act of gardening. Gardening 101. Church attendance, Bible reading, prayer, fasting, holiness, godly fellowship, all help us trim away dead branches and are a form of spiritual pruning. Jesus made a distinction between two kinds of pruning, cutting back and cutting off. Are there some things that we need to cut back on? And or are there some things we need to cut out? Because we got to abide. What do you got to cut out? What do you got to cut back on? Less cheesecake? More prayer? I mean, what is it? Idleness? Worldliness? What do we got to cut out? What do we got to get rid of? 2 Corinthians 9 and 6 says, "This I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully." I'll summarize it. You reap what you sow. You want to sow big, you'll reap big. You want to sow little, poquito, you're going to get little in return. Fruitful branches are cut back to promote growth. You go through trials, you go through tribulations, you have Wednesday nights, Bible studies, you have conversations with people and they hold you accountable. That's to help you grow. That's not to hurt you. That's to help you grow. That's to equip you. Come on, somebody. Think about this. On your job, if you have a boss that is truly invested in you and a company that's truly invested in you, you probably have an IDP, an individual developmental plan. They're probably going over it with you at least twice a year. Worst case, once a year. They're measuring you. They're telling, this is where you're at. This is where you're going. This is how good you're doing. This is areas that you need to work on. You're either getting at least a minimum of a 3% raise. And if you're really good, you're getting a 5 or 8% raise. And it's called growth. If not, they put you on a performance improvement plan. 30, 60, 90 days, if you don't measure up, adios. Time to grow. Time to mature. Time to get rid of the dead weight. Some of us are living our lives the same way, but we're not doing anything about it except we're complaining and whining, or we're asking God, bless me, bless me, bless me, and we're not setting ourselves up to receive a blessing. We're not even positioned to receive a blessing, and we're wondering, what am I doing wrong? Can I tell you? You got to abide. You got to abide. Psalms 92 and 12 says, "The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon." Notice this. "Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish." Yeah. You want to flourish? Abide. Abide in the church. Don't leave the church. Don't quit. The worst day in the church is better than any day out of the church.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Come on, somebody. Where are you planted out throughout the week? Outside of Sunday and Wednesday, where are you spiritually planted? Emotionally, physically, and mentally. Where are you planted at? What are you watching? What are you listening to? Who are you hanging out with? What compromises are you making? Shouldn't be any. Are you growing? Are you thriving? Are you bearing fruit? Notice this. Psalm 92 and 12, or 13. "They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be flat, fat, and flourishing." All the heavyweights say amen. "To show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him." Somebody just got that. "Faithfulness is the result of life-giving connection to the vine." Faithfulness. Just stick it in, day out. Good, bad, ugly. Ugly, 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 ugly. You just stick it out. You just keep going. Because you're connected. You remain. You abide. You stay. You stick it out. Months ago, or even weeks ago, perhaps you made a spiritual proclamation to be more devoted, to be more faithful, to get out of debt, to be better with your finances, to be more healthy, to be more kind, to be an altar worker, to get involved in a ministry. You made a covenant with the Lord to read your Bible, to join the choir, teach a Bible study, to be on time. You haven't been on time in 30 years. You made it, hey, no, this year I'm going to be on time. To quit smoking, to get baptized, to start coming to Sunday night service, to call backsliders, But you get stuck. Got to get unstuck. Mid-year, you still got plenty. You can finish strong. Get unstuck. Wow, you comments like, well, nobody notices. Someone else will do it. It's just a phone call. It's only $25. I'll wait until next year. What's the use? I've messed up. I'm going to say something, and please do not take this out of context. I am not promoting nicotine, drugs, alcohol, fornication. That is a sin. I'm not promoting that. But let me say something. If you mess up and something happens and you end up smoking a cigarette, don't quit the church and say, man, what's the use? You get in an argument with somebody and you punch them in the nose, or you say something that you know was wrong, and you said something, you slipped up, you did something, you intentionally sinned. Hey, don't quit. Don't say, well, I'm cutting, I'm going to cut the dead weight out of RT, man, you know. Hey, just get back and say, Lord, forgive me, and get a, find a place of repentance and start back and do it over and get back to where you were. Don't quit. Don't give up. Come on, somebody. Down is not where you belong.
Amen.
Well, abide. You abide. You're faithful. Well, I haven't been doing this. That's okay. Start all over. Start tonight, right now. Don't wait till third. Don't wait. Well, I'm going to wait till Sunday. Tonight. Be the first one in the hall where everybody's going to know something's wrong. Well, guess what? We all have been there, or we're going to be there.
Yeah, amen.
Come on, somebody.
Yeah.
All of our unrighteousness is as filthy rags. If not now, then when? If not you, then who? Well, somebody else. Well, who's somebody else? Bring somebody else to me so I can see who somebody else is. Because that somebody else is us. It's you and I. Proverbs 22:8 says, he that soweth iniquity shall reap vanity, and the rod of his anger shall fail. Everyone under the sound of my voice is a part of Revival Tabernacle. You are important. You are needed. You are necessary. Your talent, your money, your ideas, your worship, your prayer, your presence is vital to this church and to the kingdom of God. I rebuke any mindset that says, well, I'm too old. I don't give enough. I don't know how. I don't have no talent. I'm brand new. Hey, that's okay. We need babies. We need toddlers. We need mature. We need the elders. We need everybody to make up Revival Tabernacle. We need to abide.
Yeah,
well, they're not going to notice me if I'm gone. Well, we're going to notice. Because you're part of the vine. John 15:4 says, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except you abide in me. He that abideth me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Much fruit. I want you to think on this. If your spiritual growth is solely based on what happens on Wednesday night, that is a recipe for disaster. See, because Wednesday night is the gasoline. It's the checkup. It's the refresh. It's the renewing. It's the tire change. It's the car wash for the rest of the week. It's what it is. It's the equipping. It's not the Sunday night shout. It's the equipping. It's showing you how to use a saw and showing you how to use a hammer and nails and showing you how to use a thermometer. It's showing you how to use a measuring stick, how to use a paintbrush. It's equipping you. So when you get out there on Thursday and the rest of the week, you're able to resist. You're able to have a spiritual tolerance. Your spiritual immune system is healthy. I don't want to survive. I want to thrive. I don't want to be spiritually gasping for air, be isolated, be stagnant. I want to thrive. Revival is thriving. John 15:8 says, herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you shall be my disciples. I talked about that. But New Living Translation in John 15:8 says, when you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. So what do you say? We burn things that need to be burned. Let's prune things that need to be pruned. If you need patience, I would caution you about asking God for patience. But if you're really serious about patience, then pray for patience. He'll give you patience. Just remember what Pastor said. If you want the gift of giving, God will put you in situations where the gift of giving can be exercised.
Right.
Growth is not instant. Growth is not instantaneous. Experience isn't given, and experience is not gathered overnight. You put a seed in the ground, it's dark. It stays there for a while before it begins to pop out. Same thing with bearing fruit. There's these stages that it goes through. Don't quit. Abide. Remain. Stay on the branch. Get back up. Notice this. Luke 9 and 62. 62 verses in Luke chapter 9. No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom. Just got to keep moving forward. Got to keep moving. Got to keep pressing on. Got to keep on pressing on. Right? You got to keep moving forward. Where are you at? How you doing? What's it look like? How's this first 6 months of the year going? Spiritually, financially, health, relationships, on your job, in your business. How's it going in your ministries? God's not mad at you. You're not perfect. Neither are we in heaven. Notice this, Luke 9 and 56. For the Son of Man has not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. It's powerful. If you're taking notes, write that down. For the Son of Man has not come to destroy men's life, but to save them. Another part of the scripture said the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. He wants to help you. Are you down right now? Then get up. Are you rooted? Then growth is coming. If you're growing, then fruit's going to start coming. Help somebody. If you're bearing fruit, help somebody else get rooted. Help somebody else grow and move on to the next person. What's the scripture says in Ephesians 3:20, according to the power that worketh in us. What's working in us? What is working in you? The power, when you break that down, it's the dynamite explosive power. That's the power. There ought to be something inside you that's like about to explode. When you see a new convert or somebody needs help, a disciple, say, hey, there's something inside me. I want to help them. Little children, for example, Sunday school teachers. I know some of you are so passionate about the kids. Us grown adults, those that aren't teaching Sunday school, we ought to have that same passion and desire to help others in whatever way and capacity that we're able to help them. Scripture says, love the Lord thy God and your neighbor as yourself. The power is His power that is in us. Notice this as the musicians come. How is your power level? What's it like? Low power? No power? Lots of power? Acts 1 and 8 says, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Oh, and here it goes. And you shall be witnesses. So if we have the Holy Ghost, it says you shall be witnesses. It doesn't say you might or you ought to consider being a witness. It says you shall be witnesses. So where are you at? Are you being a witness? Luke 10 and 19 says, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. You got power. 1 Corinthians 4 and 20 says, for the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. Another part of the scripture, Paul is saying, I don't come to you with enticing words or excellency of speech, but I come with you in the power and in the demonstration. We got to abide. Fruit is demonstration that there's life and there's productivity from that tree or vine. So where are you at? Scripture says, Ephesians 6 and 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord as we stand, and in the power of His might. Where's the power level? You got to speak for yourself. Where is your power level? Where are you at in the thrive stage? Are you rooted? Are you growing? Are you bearing fruit? Well, Pastor, I've been rooted in this church a long time, and I thought I was growing, but I don't see any fruit. Hey, it takes a while to get some fruit. Starts out slow, right? Takes time. And you need a lot of fruit to make some juice, right? Think about that. Are you growing? Something that is living produces. There's productivity. So I ask you, what are you producing? Evil? Lies? Gossip? Distrust? Theft? Adultery, or love and kindness and joy and the Holy Ghost and ministries and faith. We're producing something every day. What are we producing? What do you need to purge? What season are you in? Ecclesiastes 3 tells us to everything there is a season and every purpose under the heaven. What season are you in? What is preventing you from growing or bearing fruit and getting to the next stage? God will bless areas of your life where you put Him first. Yeah. Seek ye first. We got to thrive. I need to thrive. Revival Tabernacle needs to thrive. But we need to thrive individually in every area of our life. We lift our hands unto the Lord. Let's take a moment and before I make an altar call, let's just create an atmosphere. I finished a little bit early, just a few minutes early, but let's just create an atmosphere. There's a lot that I threw out there, a lot to chew on. Let's be real and honest and transparent. Oh, would you lift your voice? Hallelujah. See, it's easy to spectate and say, I wonder who's pastor talking about. It's all right. I'm preaching to myself. But I want to grow. I want to be bearing fruit. Some are going to bear watermelons, others tomatoes and spicy jalapenos. But we're going to bear fruit. I want to bear fruit. Our families to bear fruit. Kids to bear fruit. Grandkids, spiritual children to bear fruit. Ministries to bear fruit. Not talk about it, but be about it. Oh, I want to abide. Trim some things. Eliminate some things. Cut some things out. I want to abide. I'm going to abide. I'm going to remain. I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to give up. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, that's it. Would you lift your voices? Let's have a prayer meeting for a few moments. Jesus, if you want to step out of the aisle, you want to make an altar at your seat or come to the front, let's do that. Let's have a prayer meeting for the next little while. Let's talk to Jesus. Come on, if you got to go, don't be rude and disrespectful to those that are praying. But come on. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Oh God, help us to thrive. Help us to be rooted, to be growing, God, to bear fruit, God, in areas of our life, God, spiritually number one, Lord. God, we want to be spiritual. We want to be holy. We want to be righteous, God. Help us to be forgiving and loving and kind, God, and passionate about soul winning and passionate, oh God, about reaching the lost and seeing our kids saved, God, and our friends and our loved ones, God. Help us, God, to go to new levels, oh God. Young and old, new converts, brand new folks, elders, ministry team, leadership, children, youth, all of us need to grow and grow deeper with God and seek the deeper things of God. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Come on, that's it. Where are you at tonight? How you doing tonight? Jesus, Jesus. Hallelujah. Ah, Jesus, we need you. We got to do better, God. We're going to do better, God. We thank you for as far as we have come this year so far. We thank you for the blessings you've given us this far, God. We thank you, God, for the anointings that we have, God. We thank you for all that you've done for us up to this point. But God, we ask, God, hey, Lord, that you would strengthen us, God, as we strengthen, Lord, ourselves in you. We encourage ourselves in you, oh God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, are there any prayer warriors? Are there any musicians? Are there any disciple makers? Any Bible study teachers? Oh, God, help us, Lord, to have a hunger and a thirst, God, to grow and to bear fruit, God, to abide with you, Lord, to not quit, God, to not get comfortable, to not get stagnant, God, to not be spectating, God. But help us, God, to be all in, oh, God, to dive in, oh, God, for what you have. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. We need you tonight, God. Purge things out of our hearts, God. Help us to cut certain things out, God. Help us to trim some areas, oh God, so there can be bigger growth, Lord. Jesus, preparing our minds, preparing our hearts, preparing ourselves, God, for fruit that's going to be born, oh God. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Great are you, God, in this house, Lord.
I'm surrendering my all.
Oh, God, I surrender to you, oh God. Hallelujah.
I surrender to the King.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, any worshipers tonight?
Let the worshipers arise. Let the sons and the daughters sing.
Oh, God.
I'm surrendering my all.
I'm not guaranteed Sunday, God. I'm not guaranteed tomorrow morning, God.
I surrender to the King.
I'm going to do better. To dig deeper.
Father, I see that you are drawing a line in the sand. And I want
to
be standing by side. Holding your hand. So let your kingdom come.
That's it, RT.
Let it live
in me. Stir up the gift that is within you.
This is
stir it up.
This is my plea.
This is an army of reliable.
Father, I see that you are drawing a line in the sand. And I
want to
be standing by your side.
Generational sins and curses will be broken because you remain on the vine.
Let your kingdom
blessings of prosperity
come.
And healing and deliverance.